I want to read Haggai chapter 2. Some people say you're supposed to say Haggai. I grew up saying Haggai, so I'm going to keep saying Haggai. Chapter 2, verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, said the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Again, this is on the precipice of building. This is what God is saying. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, that I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. I want you to earmark that, because when we think glory, we think beauty, the edifice, the might. No, no, no. I will fill the house with glory. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And here's the verse you've heard so many times. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And let me just clarify something, and I'll preach it in a moment. Sometimes when we read that, the glory of the latter shall be greater than the former. And you got to understand, though, really quick, they were called to rebuild the temple. The temple that had been destroyed was Solomon's temple. Beautiful, grand, mighty, glorious, all those wonderful things that we would say that's glory. But now here they are, just a remnant of people called to rebuild something modest. And yet God says, no, 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 you don't understand. The glory of this house is going to be greater. Why? Because he said, because I will fill it. So yes, we're going to build a bigger building. But if we're going to have the glory of the Lord, it's not going to be because of physical beauty. It's not going to be because we build the biggest and the best thing. The only way that the glory of the latter house is going to be greater is if he fills it. So today we want God to fill this place with his glory. More than an edifice, we want your glory. More than a building, God, we need your glory. We need a move of your spirit. This is what he will do. He said, oh God, we got a budget. The silver is mine. Lord, we need more. The gold is mine. The glory shall be greater. Today my sermon is pioneers and path builders. Pioneers and path builders. You can be seated today. Pioneers and path builders. You know, in American history, there's some incredible, I'm going to take you back to seventh grade just for a moment. If you go back to middle school with me, learn about American history, and there's so many fascinating characters. I think of people like Lewis and Clark, and I don't want to take you on a full history lesson today, but this expedition was spurred on by the Louisiana Purchase, right? And so President Jefferson, he heard that Spain had to give Louisiana back to France, and so he buys it. And basically doubling the size of the United States of America. And so it goes from New Orleans to the tip of what's now Montana. And so in 1803, Captain Lewis and Second Lieutenant Clark of the Army, they're dispatched to head up an expedition to chart uncharted territory. So can you just imagine with me what it would have been like to be that kind of pioneer? And as they explore into places that, although there were inhabitants there, uncharted. No one to tell you what's next. No one to tell you, are you about to come to a cliff? No one to tell you what's the weather going to be like? What's the terrain going to be like? Completely uncharted territory. Now I literally ask Alexa before I go outside, what's the weather today? I don't even open the door. Okay? I just ask, do I need to wear a jacket today, Alexa? Probably not. Can you imagine though, those pioneers, those people, it's hard to fathom with a life lived by GPS. And all of those things, right? It's a generational thing. I'm telling you right now, if you're over 30 or over 40 and you tell someone under 30, well, just go past the gas station and then on your left, they're literally going to say, thank you so much. And they're going to pull out their map and punch in the GPS, right? It's a different world. But in this time, there were these pioneers that blazed a trail that no one had walked on, and they charted a course. And just imagine what that must have been like. And you have this expedition, and then of course we have the manifest destiny, right? These people rushing to uncharted areas or places that are only barely charted. Then you have the gold rush, right? And then, but after A lot of time after the Civil War and Reconstruction, then comes the Industrial Age and the Transcontinental Railroad. And now all of a sudden, by 1890, there are five railroads that cross the continent. And the social and geographical landscape has forever changed, because now what was months-long, life-endangering work, you could just jump on a train and be across the country in a few days. So there were the pioneers that went and blazed the trail. But then after them came the path builders, the railroad constructors, the people that made it possible. For once it was just tens and dozens and hundreds. Now thousands of people, communities were created. Entire cities were constructed around this railroad. And you see that reflected throughout history. And we're going to speak about that. But you have these pioneers that came, and in the same way we see they're pioneers of the gospel. My grandparents were pioneer missionaries to the country of South Korea. They went to South Korea without knowing anybody. They just felt a call from the Lord when my grandfather served in the Korean War, and he felt called back there, and they moved, and they said it was like a circus show going down the street, because my grandfather's hair turned white when he was 30. So he was a white man with white hair. My grandmother had black hair. She was a white woman with black hair. My aunt had red hair. She was a white girl with red hair. And my dad had brown hair. He was a white boy with brown hair. And so to see this circus act of white people going down the street, when people that they had never seen, again, South Korea was an impoverished nation at this time. They said they were just walking. People would just stare at them as they went by. Pioneers. I'm talking about people that went places that no one had ever gone with the gospel. It's hard to imagine for us now. It's hard to see that. But yet there were pioneers. Pioneers of people planting churches. Pioneers of people doing uncharted things. And it's incredible. But we see that. And then we see the people that are called to build, the people that are called to come alongside and build a path and build upon what was done. And to give you a little history in Haggai today, I want to just kind of set the stage. There's two prophets of the Lord. We see that they're kind of together in this moment. Haggai and Zechariah, they're returning to Jerusalem with 50,000 people of what was called the Jewish remnant. You can read about it in Ezra. And they arrive and they build an altar. However, the enormity of the process of rebuilding the temple was just such a burden for the people that they delayed. They delayed for 16 years. And so Haggai are four sermons, four messages, if you will, from Haggai, from the Lord, to get the people back in action to build and to rebuild the temple that was destroyed. So that's what the book of Haggai is. So there's four elements to it. I'm going to just share it with you really quickly, because I see that we have some things reflected for us today. Although we're not in the same position, there are some similarities that I see, and I ask the Lord, help me to understand, when we are to build, what is it that you would say to your people? When your people build, what do you challenge them? And if you read in the very beginning, the first message from Haggai was really saying a challenge. It was really a challenge to make sure that their priorities were the right ones. And it was a rebuke. If you put it in a word, it's a rebuke. You can read Haggai chapter 1 through verse 15. And he basically says, you see how the Lord's house is in ruins? How is it that God's house is in ruins, yet you just built a super nice house? Talk about a direct challenge. How is it the Lord's house is in ruins and yet you have nice homes? And that's not the position that we're in. We are endeavoring to build but yet the same thing I can look personally, because he asked this question. The Lord asked the people, he says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Are your ways prioritizing me? So first Haggai says, listen, if we're going to be blessed, because the Jewish people came back from exile and they're struggling. They're struggling with, they had poor harvest. They were struggling to build everything. And so the temple was the last thing on their mind, because they were just trying to rebuild their life. And so Haggai says, consider your ways, says the Lord. Are you prioritizing me? Because I see the house that you've rebuilt for yourself, and yet my house is in ruins. So first is a rebuke, which I could say we can look at personally. Okay, Lord, am I prioritizing? And we preached about it in January, first things. And Lord, I want to put you first. But his second message he gives, we read, is recharge. You got to recharge, because God has blessings in store. And that's where I want to pick up, because the danger, again, there were some elders there that they were old enough to remember Solomon's temple. So now they look at the brokenness that remains, and they're like, what we're building is so meager in comparison to what Solomon's temple was. But he says, no, you need to understand, you got to just build, because I am with you. And so, again, our elders, it's not a direct parallel, because our elders are excited, our elders are leading the charge. But we have to understand that even in our lives, there's a temptation to look over our shoulder at what once was and say, that was the glory days. That was the best when society was more Christian, when it was so much easier, when the things of God weren't so controversial. But if we're careful, we'll miss out on the glory that God has in store because we're so consumed with the glory of the past. And so the message is you've got to recharge and say, Lord, we have to build today. Right now, what's amazing is not only are we doing Let's Imagine, but just think about in the life of this church, in the life of what we're doing, now is the time that God has ordained for us to put this in motion. So for some of us, we could say, you know what? Maybe 10 years ago, we could have done this and maybe we could wait another 5 years. But no, I believe that God is saying, now is the time for you to move. Now is the time that I have ordained for you to move forward. So we're going to step into what God has called us to do. So his second message is recharge. Be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you. Why do we work? Because he's with us. Now they were constructing the temple physically, and we're not, although some may help with different aspects of building our new building, the truth is today is just another reminder. We've been doing it. We've been sacrificing, but today is another opportunity for us to say, Lord, I want to work. I want to be a part. I want to give. And if you have never been with us before, you're under no obligation today. If you're a guest, I don't want to obligate you. But if you're newer to our church, I do want to challenge you to join us in sacrifice, to join us in sacrificing for what God has in store for our church. So the third message was a message of how God wants to rule. The Israelites had been through it. And even after the return from exile, they had experienced, like I said, poor crops, difficulty. And so Haggai's trying to explain what's happening. He's like, listen, you've got to clean yourself first. And he uses this example in Haggai chapter 2, starting in verse 12. He says, if you took a piece of meat that was holy, and you put it in your garment, and it touched other things, would that meat make everything else holy? And they said, well, no. And he said, okay, but if you went and touched the dead body, and then after that you went and touched other things, would that make everything else unclean? And they said, well, yes. And he goes, exactly. That's what you're doing. You're making everything unclean because you're not putting things in the right order. Now, he says, so it is in verse 14. So it is with these people in the nation before me. Now consider from this day onward. This is before the temple was built. He says, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord. He says, listen, before we start building the temple, let me ask you a question. And this is the question the Lord asks, verse 16. How did you fare? How are things going? I know you've been trying to get back from exile, but you haven't built my temple. How's that going for you? He says, you basically, a couple examples. You tried to come and get wine and you thought you would get this and 50 measures and only 20 measures came back. You went to get one heap of 20 measures, but there was only 10. You went to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, but there are only 20. And he says, I struck you in your products of your toil with blight and mildew, but you did not turn to me. This is God saying, listen, you haven't turned to me. You've struggled, right? Consider from this day onward, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you. So what he says is, listen, you return from exile. The people are back from exile. They're trying to get back into the crops. They're trying to get back into tilling the ground. They're trying to get back into harvesting, and nothing is coming of it. And Haggai says, listen, you got it all wrong. I know that you're trying to say, once we get everything together, then we'll build the temple. He says, no. How has that worked out for you? Not so great. He says, but if you begin to put stone on stone, not when the building is done, when you commit to putting stone on stone, from this day on, I will bless you. So let me just let that be a declaration to us. And we're this is not a church where we've turned our back on God, but I believe the principle stands true that when we make a commitment, Lord, I'm going to put my hand to the plow, maybe figuratively today, when I commit to funding, God, what you're trying to do in Sterling Heights and around the globe, I believe when you make that commitment, God is a God of principle, and he will say, I see what you're doing by putting stone on stone, and from this day forward, I will bless you. There's some things that you may have been going through, but I truly believe that the blessing of the Lord is going to pour out over this church when we begin to prioritize His temple. And we've been doing it, but we're not going to stop now. We're going to continue to say, Lord, we want to build. Yes, we gave $95,000. That's wonderful, but that's just the start of what God has for us to do. That's not one and done. We're going to continue. When you build it, He'll turn things around in your favor. Then the fourth message of Haggai, not only does God want to rule, God wants to reign. Ruling and reigning. And this is, to me, is so incredible because God comes again and speaks, Haggai 2, 20, 21. Speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, saying, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth. And to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I'm about to destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nation. Overthrow the chariots and the riders, and the horses and the riders shall go down, every one by the sword of his brother. On that day, I want you to look at this, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring. For I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. We see some parallel language in 1 Peter 2:9. You want to talk New Testament? Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. But there's something that you need to understand about this passage. Signet ring. You know this, I'm sure, but a signet ring carried the symbol of the king. And you would do things like if there was a document, it was basically the king's signature. They would put wax, and when that signet ring was applied and the impression was made, all of a sudden, whatever it was applied to carried, you need to understand me, whatever that signet ring was applied to, therefore carried the authority, the power, and the name of the king. So let me just pause and reveal what this is talking about. This is a foreshadowing of the name of Jesus being applied over your life like a signet ring. When you take on the name of Jesus, you take on the authority, you take on the power, you take on the blessing, you take on the ability of the king. Why? Because when you have the signet, you've got the authority of the king. Oh, I'm so thankful for that today. Today at the end of service, we've got one baptism that's going to be happening already in this service. The name of Jesus is going to be applied over someone's life like that signet ring of authority and power. When you've got the signet ring, you can cross through borders. When you got the signet ring, you're untouchable by people. All of a sudden, your enemies, they may come for you, but you say, no, 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 I've got the ring, I've got the name, I've got the banner, and all of a sudden, you're untouchable. They say, oh, you've got the authority of the king, I can't do anything to you. That's what I'm talking about. When I say signet ring, I'm talking about the name of Jesus. But to understand the significance here, you got to go backwards to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 22. This is in the time of kings, before the fall of the Jewish people. Jeremiah 22 and 24. As I live, saith the Lord, through Conah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Jehoiakim is the king of Judah. The one... he was of the house of David. You got to understand that. Look, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence. And I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, into the hand of those that face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into the hand of the Chaldeans. There was a curse that Jeremiah announced against Jehoiakim, who was a representative of the house of David. The signet ring was the visible symbol of the king's authority. So back in Jeremiah, the Lord rejected the house of David temporarily. I'll give you one guess whose house Zerubbabel is from. He's from the house of David. He is the grandson of Jehoiakim. So what we have to understand is in this moment, although they were building a building, when they decided to put stone upon stone, there was something much bigger happening. Because you think it's about building a building, but in this moment, God was waiting to restore a lineage. God was waiting to restore a man, because we know that from the line of David, there's another reign that was coming, and it's Jesus. And eventually we're going to see his reign here on this earth. We're going to see his millennial reign. But what I need you to understand in this passage is so amazing to me, is you can just read that and think, oh yes, a signet ring, that's wonderful. But you got to understand that the Lord had withheld that from Israel for some time. And so now, only when... It's not when they came back from exile. It's not when they got back to their homeland. No, when they made a decision, I'm going to build the temple. I'm going to set aside my own ambitions, my crops, my home, my thing. When they made that decision to prioritize the temple of God, God said, I'm going to restore some things that I previously removed from you. So let me just tell somebody today, you may not be living in the same state that we find the Israelites in Haggai, but I believe there may be some things that you've given up on in your life, some things that you feel disconnected from. I've talked to some people, and then you say things like this: well, I know God's calling me, but I just don't know what it means. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do next. It's been a long time and I'm not really sure. I've been struggling. Let me tell you, when you commit yourself to the work of God, there's some things that can be restored in your life. There's a signet ring that can be reapplied. There may be some things you've been struggling with, some brokenness you're experiencing, some brokenness in your home, some brokenness in your lineage, but God can step in and say, I will make you a chosen people. You are a royal people. You are not less than. You're not a second-rate citizen in the kingdom of God. You're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen people. I need somebody to hear that today. Thank you, Jesus. Musicians can come. I'm coming to a close. We need to understand that there's some restoration that's activated when we put him first. Now, we know that the tabernacle and both temples were destroyed by the Philistines, Babylonians, and the Romans. We know that. That's not the point. And that's not the point today. Because we know that the building is not the church. We are the temple of God. We are filled with his Holy Spirit. But we are called to gather together. We are called to be a body. We are called to be members of a body. And guess what? The body needs all of its members to function properly. So yes, we come together. But we are the temple of God. We don't worship a building. We worship in a building. So today, we're committing Haggai 2 and 9, the glory of this latter house. That was a verse that was read for those of you that were here when we announced what was committed originally to the campaign. This verse was read. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. But I want to reframe your thinking. The point is not, it's going to be a bigger building, better building. That's not the point. The point is, he's saying, because you've returned to me, because you put me first, I will fill the place with my glory. You know what we want? You know what I want? I want the glory of God. I don't want to have the biggest, coolest church to have the biggest, coolest church. No, I just want to do kingdom work. And yes, we're going to be a church that is influential and ministers, not for our sake, so that we can do more, so that we can step in when people need help, so that when there are people, even more so in Sterling Heights community, that suffer from domestic violence, guess what? We're there with our Every Heart Restored program, and we meet them at the point of their need. We can connect with organizations like House of Providence, which helps young women that are displaced from their home for different reasons. We can come alongside and say, what do you need? We can do things like Shine Day, where we go around the community and find elders that can't take care of their own homes. Oh, that's not very glamorous. Yeah, I know. I know. I don't care. We're the church. We're the hope of the world. And yes, we're going to do big things. We're going to build a bigger building. Why? So that we can give more. So that we can bless more. That's why. Not just to come in here and pat each other on the back and say, great church. No. We're on a mission. Glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And guess what? What will God give us? Haggai 2:9. First of all, he says, my glory is going to be greater, but he also promises us a gift. What does he promise us? And in this place will I give peace. There's not a formula for you to get peace in your life. You figure that out. You got the promotion, but it didn't give peace. Peace, true peace, is something that only God can give. Guess where he likes to give it? Here. This is the place. that God likes to give peace. Someone says, hey, why do I need to get to church? You know what? Maybe your next time you have a conversation, why do I go to church? I can be a Christian at home. I don't need anybody. Guess what? God said, in my house, I will give peace. You want peace? Get to church. Experience it. Experience the glory of God. That's why we're building a new building. Because I want his glory. Because I want to see God do it again. Give somebody else peace for their life to be transformed. Not because they got a bigger home or got a bigger paycheck. No. Why? Because God gave them something they've been chasing their whole life. Peace. Peace. Stand with me today. Today we're joining together. We're recommitting to this Let's Imagine campaign. And again, if you've never been a part, this is not about any one person giving a giant number. I think it's kind of like in Haggai. He says, work, for I am with you. The challenge today is, I want you to, can you pick up a hammer, as it were? Can you pick up a stone with me, as it were, and just begin placing stone upon stone? You know, be strong, all ye people of the land, for I am with you. You know, church, I've tried to wrap my mind around where God has me, why here. Although Pastor Hoffman wasn't the first pastor of this church, I know he wasn't the founding pastor, but you know what? He was a pioneer. He was a pioneer. He was the kind of man that would speak into situations where no one else saw the light, and he said, we're going to do it. You know, the Pastor Hoffman was not just a good preacher. He was an anointed man of God. He would say things no one else would say. No one else had the courage to say sometimes. And it got him in trouble here and there. But I don't think with the Lord. It got him in trouble with our sensibilities. What was he doing? He was being a pioneer. He was holding a lantern. Hey, this is where we're going. I know you can't see it, but this is where we're headed. This is what we're doing. He was a pioneer. He was an incredible man of God. And if you're new with us, you're going to hear his name for years to come, because he's a part of our DNA. It's not a part of our history. He's a part of who we are. So get used to hearing that name, Harold Hoffman, because it's woven into the fabric of our being. It's who we are. So today we're not standing here holding lanterns into ill-lit paths. No, he pioneered things. But it's our job to build a path where it was dozens and hundreds. God wants it to be thousands. Thousands that flow through this church that are baptized in Jesus. Can you see it? I know it may seem hard to understand. Last week, between our two services, we had 473 people here. Guess what? Soon it's going to be 500. And then 600. Amen. But it's not for number's sake. It's not for number's sake. It's for souls. Every number, every person's a soul. So I'm not going to be ashamed to say we want more people. Because guess what? We're going to build this church larger. Why? So that we can give larger. So that we can bless larger. We can send larger. We can do larger. That's why. It's our job to build a path. Guess what, church? I'll never be Pastor Hoffman. I know that. I'm wearing his shoes this morning. These are Pastor Hoffman's shoes. And I'm going to be honest with you, they don't really fit all the way. They're a little wider. His foot was wider than mine. My foot's a little longer than his. But that's kind of why I wear them. It's a little bit of a reminder. People asked me when I first got here, man, you got big shoes to fill. You got big shoes to fill. And I understand the expression. I didn't take any offense. But I just said, you know what? I can't fill the shoes. All I can do is bring my own shoes. Just brought my own shoes. And these are another pair of his shoes. And this is his shoe shining kit from his home. And I've brought it up here to the church. And I shine my shoes on Sunday morning as a reminder, just a small reminder, of a man that he was a pioneer. He looked for things people didn't look for. He saw things people didn't see. He saw things in you. And he saw something in me. That's why I'm here. Pastor Hoffman saw before I did. What you're seeing is they're getting ready for a baptism right now. That's why we exist. And I don't want to stall them. When y'all are ready, baptize and we'll worship with you and we'll continue right on. But today I don't ask the question, how do I fill his shoes? But I do ask the question, how can I fulfill his legacy? And this is what I've determined. I can't fill his shoes, but I can walk down the path he walked. So that's what I'm determining. That's what I'm promising to this church. I'll never be Pastor Hoffman. I'm different in a lot of ways. Sister Hoffman, I can never fill his shoes. He was amazing. And he saw something in me I didn't even realize. But what I can do is I can say, Lord, call me in the path that he walked. You know what he wanted to see? This. Go ahead, Brother Blasek. Go ahead. Can we just pause for a moment? Let's just pray. This is an incredible thing. In the name of Jesus. God, this is why we're here. This is what this is about. In the name of Jesus. He's taken on the name. He's taking on the name above every name. Oh, let's worship. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, oh God. We give you thanks, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your name has been applied. You're doing something I could never do. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Oh, what you're seeing, I want to see it again 100 times. I want to see it again 1,000 times. I never want to get tired of that. I never want to get away from that. That's why the church exists. That's why we're here. That people can take on the name. That people can take on the name of Jesus. Oh God, we worship you. We thank you, oh Lord. We thank you, oh Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you get this Let's Imagine commitment card with me? And again, I want to be clear. If you're a guest with us today, I'm not asking you to give. I'm telling you we're doing this for you because we want to have a place where our entire church can meet as one body together, not in two services where we can meet. But just like in the book of Haggai, when they were going to build, the Lord said, number one, consider your ways. This is an opportunity for us to consider our ways. Lord, am I putting you first? Consider our ways. The second message of Haggai, recharge, work, for the Lord is with you. I'm with you. The third message was, I want to rule. Said, how have things been when you've been focused on yourself? How have things been going? How has it been? Said, you've been harvesting, but the harvest have been little. But from this day forward, I will bless. And then finally, we see the restoration of the signet ring, the restoration of the house. So today, I want to just, again, just to be clear, there's two lines on here. There's a line for a monthly commitment or a 12-month commitment. It could be the same thing. If you budget out, hey, I'm gonna try to give a certain amount every month, you can write that down and then you can write the total. But if you're like, you know, I'm gonna give periodically, I'm not necessarily gonna give every week, but this is my goal for the whole year, then you could just fill out that total 12-month commitment. And I want to challenge you. I hope I've been able to convey what the Spirit has had me to do today. I don't want to pressure anybody, but I want to compel you to walk with me. Let's build a path. And my message, I want to be clear, the message is not pioneers and path builders as two people. If we're going to be who God has called us to be, we have to be path builders. But we also have to take up the spirit of the pioneer. Heard someone say it this way. They said the gospel is always one generation away from extinction. Now, let me clarify my personal opinion. I believe that the Lord is going to preserve his church. The church is not going anywhere. But you know what that statement is true for? My family. Your family. The gospel is one generation away from extinction in my family, unless I pick up that same spirit of pioneering and say, we're going to carry this forward. This is why we're going to build. So that long after I'm physically gone from this earth, there's a beacon of hope on DeQuinder Road where people can drive by and say, that's the place where miracles happen. That's the place where you can feel peace. That's the place where your life can be changed. So I'm asking you today to continue with me to build a path that others can walk on and to blaze a trail. You need to be a pioneer and a path builder. So right now, would you begin to fill out this card if you haven't already? I want you to write down what you've committed. I'm going to write down what my wife and I have talked about giving this year. And however you want to do it, we're going to bring these to altar in just a moment. You can fold it, or if you can just place it face down, whatever you want to do. But I want to pray for what God is going to do. Again, I can't endeavor to fill the shoes of Pastor Hoffman, but I can walk down the path he blazed. I can commit to building those things which he saw but never got to experience. I wish he was here. I do. But God is still sovereign. The Lord knows. The Lord knows what we are to do. So today, if you filled out that card, would you just take it in your hand? And then I would ask you would come down to this front and just place it on the altar, face down, fold it, however you want to do that. You can come now and place these. And then I would ask you to fill around the altar similar to our missions offering. And we're going to pray over there. We're going to worship the Lord together. Because I want the glory of the latter house to be greater than the former house. But the glory is not about our ability to build. The glory is about God's decision to fill it. So if you're new with us today, I'm not pressuring you. I want to encourage you to join what God is doing here at First Church. It's a new day. It's a new season. But as we give, I want us to begin to pray over this. I want you to begin to imagine your family, your grandchildren having a place to worship, your grandchildren's children, there being future generations, that you are blazing a trail today. We're building what Pastor Hoffman saw in his mind. We're committing and saying, we're going to build a path. You saw it. You pioneered it, but we're going to build it. We're going to endeavor to build. Would you stretch your hand out over these offering, over these cards and what they represent? And let's begin to pray that God would use us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God. I pray that you would use us in Jesus' name in a mighty way, Lord. I pray that we would build a path, God, that others can walk on, that others can receive the word and the spirit, that others would be baptized in Jesus' name. Let it be done in this house. Let your glory fill this house. Let your glory fill this house. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Yes, and can we pray all across this place? I believe that God wants to fill your house. God wants to restore your house.